Alan, I got a question for you. You're wondering why I'm picking on you, right? you're the only farmer I could see here. What does a sack of corn seed cost? That's a lot of money. What would it take to plant 20 acres? Acre and a half to a sack of seed. So 20 times 200, about $4,000 maybe? Somebody was telling me that what corn seed cost, and I was just kind of overwhelmed. You know, I kind of remember when you just went to the granary and got the seed from last year, you know? I bring it up because I also heard that in the time of Jesus, seed was very valuable. Now, probably not valuable in the same way that it is for Alan. Because for Alan, he has to buy it from the company. But for them, it was much more a matter of you had to save it from year to year. Now, that probably was okay in a good year when you had a lot of grain. But what happened in a bad year? You had to make a choice between eating the grain or keeping some of it for the next year. And I suspect that sometimes is a hard decision because you knew you needed the food now and your family needed the food now. But if you ate it all, how were you going to have a crop the next year? That little detail, I think, maybe even adds understanding to our gospel this morning. I'll get back to that in a moment. But you can look at the day's gospel, I think, from two perspectives. One is the perspective that I'm most accustomed to, and that is the side of the soil, you know, the receptive soil. But there's another perspective, and that is the perspective of the sower, the one who sows. And I want to focus on that one for just a moment before I go to the other. If you'll notice in that story, and remember, seed was valuable in Jesus' time. If you focus on that story a little bit, that sower was pretty careless in a sense. You know, it sounds like he just threw the seed wherever. So it was a path, that's okay. It was rocky soil, that's okay. If there's some thistles and thorns growing there, that was okay too. It's like he was exceedingly generous with the seed that he was sowing. Now think about it for a moment. Who would the sower in that story represent? Who really sows the seed? Is it not God our Father? And Jesus tells us that the seed is the Word. Now go to John's gospel for a moment, right at the beginning of his gospel. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was the Son of God. And so in a sense, what that story is about, God sowing the seed of his Word, the seed of his Son, God throwing it out lavishly, generously, hoping that there would be some receptive soil, that someone would take that word, listen to that word, let that word grow in their hearts and bear fruit. And so God is lavish and generous with that word that he spreads among us. Now the other side of the parable is the soil, the receptive hearts. And that's where the question comes for you and I. How receptive am I? How open am I to hear the Word of God? What kind of soil do I have? You know, the first kind of soil that Jesus talks about is the path. The beaten path, hard, dry, seed can't get in, But then he says something very interesting there. Seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it. That word, understanding. It means that we have to make an effort to understand it. You know, if we just hear the word of God and we say, don't understand that, forget it, then it's seed on the path. But if we try to understand it, then that word can take root within us. How do we try to understand it? Well, we have to get somehow connected with the tradition from which the word comes. It comes out of the biblical tradition. We have to somehow know something about the story of our faith. If we think we can just listen to God's word and it's going to touch us and inspire us, but we've never taken the time, we've never taken the energy to begin to try to understand that word of God, that biblical tradition that has come down to us. You know, God took 2,000 years to prepare the Jewish people to hear his word in the person of his son. We're going to have to do some work too if we're going to let that word take root in our hearts. What is that work? Well, it's coming to know something about the scriptures. It's being willing to do a little checking into them, trying to understand what they mean. It could be something as simple as before you come to Mass on Sunday to read the Word of God. And maybe even find some sources to look and say, what did that mean in the time of Jesus? Why did he use that image? Or it might be something like, before we come to Mass on Sunday, taking a moment to say, okay, why am I going? What am I going to do when I get there? What is the purpose for my being there? Is it just to put in my 50 minutes or my hour and 5 minutes? Or am I supposed to be doing something? But if we come unprepared, then it will be empty. We're responsible for preparing the soil so that the Word of God can touch us, enter into us, and begin to bear the fruit that God wants from us. You know, next we come to the rocky soil. You know, Jesus used the example how the soil wasn't very deep, so it does take root, but it has no depth, and so the hot sun comes along, and it gets scorched, it dries up, it dies. You know, that kind of thing happens in our lives too. You know, something happens in our lives and we get a touch of religion for a moment. You know, maybe somebody got sick and frightened us. Or maybe we had a really good experience with something. Maybe it was a prayer we heard, or maybe it was something on television, or maybe it was a retreat or a day of recollection or just a really good sermon we heard. And man, I'm going to change. I'm going to do things different. But a week later, it's all back to the same. You know, we have to have some depth in our soil. The Word of God, if it's going to bear root in our lives and bear fruit, has to have some discipline with it. You know, if we never pray, if we never take time to reflect, it's not going to bear any fruit in our lives. The next one was the thorns. Got to find it here. Thickets and thorns, that's what it was. And Jesus used the example of the lure of riches and the worldly preoccupations. What is that about? Well, it's asking us, how important is the Word of God in my life? You know, if something's important in our lives, we focus on it. You know, if somebody wants to be, for instance, a musician, you just don't walk up to the piano and start playing. There's a lot of work about that. Or if you want to be an artist, you know, you just don't get a piece of wood and start carving. You've studied. You've practiced. You've done a lot of work. You know, the athletes, you know, they just don't go out to the football field and start playing. There's a lot of training. There's a lot of learning. There's a lot of things they have to do, a lot of discipline. Now, if the Word of God is really God's telling us the way to life, doesn't it demand a central spot in our lives? If the only time we ever think about the Word of God is when we come to church, if we're not too distracted by something, if that's the only thought we give to it all week, it's not going to have an important place in our lives. It's not going to touch us. You know, we are responsible to create that good soil so that the Word of God can bear fruit. Well, you may say, well, I'm too busy. I got too much to do with all this stuff. Yeah, we're all busy. But we have time for what's really important. And we have that responsibility to look at our lives and say, what is important? What is going to have eternal value? And then decide what has to fall out of our lives. That good soil that Jesus talks about, we can all become that good soil. But it's not by accident. It requires discipline. It requires determination. It requires that we focus ourselves on hearing God's Word, opening our hearts to that Word. Let that Word penetrate into us. It requires that we make that Word the central focus of our lives so that it can take root and bear that abundant harvest.